I wanted to win the wager everyone's betting on. Margosha snorted. You're already receiving free room and board, and beautiful gowns and jewels to wear. Isn't that enough? Olenka winced. 2 months ago, Lord Darnhill asked me to marry him. I was considering it, but then his parents said we couldn't marry because I didn't have a large enough dowry. So I thought if I had more money... Why would you want to marry Darnhill? Margosha grimaced. The man is an ass. Everyone calls him Lord Dunghill. While Annika choked back a laugh, Olenka's bottom lip quivered. Don't waste any tears over a man who gives up on you that easily. Gwenor wrapped an arm around Olenka's shoulders and gave her a hug. I would say you're better off without Lord Darnhill. Annika laughed out loud. Olenka shot her an injured look. It's not funny. There are only a few eligible bachelors here at court. I don't have much to choose from. Annika waved a dismissive hand. Then join the army like I did. You'll have hundreds of men to choose from. And they won't be like these limp, pasty-faced men at court. I'm talking strong, handsome, virile young men. Olenka's eyes widened. Do they look like Alexei and Dmitri? Annika stiffened. Dmitri is mine, but you can have your choice of the others. Olenka's eyes gleamed for a moment, then she slumped. My parents would never allow it. How would they stop you? Annika scoffed. Can they defeat an army? Olenka gave her a wary look. Would I have to fight like a soldier? Not if you have a skill like I do, Annika replied. I could use an assistant, actually, if you're willing to learn. What about my pretty gowns and jewelry? Olenka smoothed her hands over her silk skirt. What about them? Annika gave her a pointed look. Hundreds of strong, handsome, virile young men. And if you want one of them, you can jump his bones. Olenka's eyes lit up. I'll do it. She turned toward Gwenor. And I'll help you. I'm on your side, really. When I heard how the other courtiers were treating you, I wanted to punch them. You'll have to get in line, Annika growled. Gwenor smiled. Her circle of friends was growing. As she watched Margosha giving Olenka a hug and then Annika showing her how to salute, her heart squeezed. She had wanted to leave in a week to keep from getting hurt, but it was already too late. It would hurt to leave her new friends behind. And it would hurt like hell to leave Silas. The next morning, Gwenor woke to find the sun was already up. She'd overslept, even though she'd gone to bed early. But yesterday had been far too exhausting. She closed her eyes, remembering the troll attack, her near plummet over the waterfall, Puff's dramatic rescue, and then Silas's kiss. Were they the same? Was Silas actually a dragon? She rolled onto her side and rested her hand on the pillow where he had slept. Why don't you just ask him? No. She sat up. She'd asked him before to be honest with her. If he couldn't do it, then there was no point in seeing him. But it was so tiresome having to avoid him. She'd eaten dinner in the workroom last night with her friends, and today she'd probably have all of her meals there. She climbed out of bed and rang the bell for Nisa. Then she relieved herself in the privy next to the dressing room. As she filled the tub with water, she heard similar noises from the dressing room next door. Silas was there. Had he overslept too? Was he missing her? She tiptoed over to the door to listen. Yes, he had to be bathing. Or shaving, perhaps. My lady? Nisa rushed into the dressing room. Gwenor jumped back from the door. Oh, good morning. I've started the bath. I'll heat some water for you. Nisa held the kettle under the spout of running water and gave Gwenor a curious look. Are you considering taking him back, my lady? No, of course not. Gwenor glanced at the door once again as she stepped away. Nisa set the kettle on the stove, then added some wood to the fire. It must be hard to turn down a man like the general. Gwenor sighed. Definitely hard. She must be bathing, Silas thought, as he pressed his ear against the door. How many times had he stopped himself from knocking on her door last night? He'd been up half the night fighting temptation. With a sigh, he stepped back. He wanted to respect her wishes, but weren't they supposed to be working together? Didn't that give him a legitimate reason to talk to her? He'd heard about her new workroom in the Western Wing. Maybe this afternoon he could drop by for an official report. He clenched his fists. How could he wait till this afternoon? Maybe, if he timed it right, he could run into her in the hallway. What a lovesick fool he was. He quickly washed, shaved, and threw on his clothes, all the while listening to the noises next door. When the noises stopped, he rushed to his bedchamber door and peeked out. When she stepped into the hallway, he quickly exited, then stopped as if surprised to see her. Damn. He was surprised. She was wearing breeches. What? He strode toward her. What are you doing? Her cheeks turned a lovely shade of pink, but she avoided looking at him. Good morning. You're wearing breeches. I am aware of that. Her pretty ears turned pink. Annika loaned me a pair. We're going to collect wild herbs and such from the forest today, so I thought... You're going into the forest? Silas scowled at her. You should take an armed soldier with you. I am. Gwen gave him a wry look. Annika! His mouth twitched. No one could set him straight as well as Gwen. Even so, he would ask Carlin to send some guards to make sure the ladies were safe. No matter how capable Annika was, she'd have trouble fighting off a bear all by herself. He crossed his arms over his chest as he studied Gwen. So, did you want to join the army? He leaned close. I have a really nice tent you could share with me. She snorted. If you'll excuse me, I have work to do. She walked past him. As he turned to follow her progress, his gaze dropped to the lovely sway of her hips, so well-defined in those tight breeches. Damn! He stalked after her. It's against regulation not to wear the complete uniform. You're missing the breastplate. Gwen stopped. Annika had only one of those. The breastplate was long enough to cover most of a woman's hips. Didn't Gwen realize how much of her sweetly rounded rump was on display? He grabbed her shirt and started pulling it from the waistline of her breeches. Gwenor stiffened. What are you doing? Hiding your sweet ass, he grumbled as he let the shirt fall around her hips. She huffed. I'm hiding enough already. I'll be in the workroom most of the day. Hiding from me. She pushed his arms away. Avoiding you. I miss you. A pained look crossed her face before she affected a bland expression. It hasn't been that long. You saw me yesterday. I kissed you yesterday. He reached for her, but she stepped back. I told you the make-believe affair is over. I have no intention of It wouldn't be copulating, damn it. It would be making love. He froze, stunned by the words that had come out of his mouth. Damn. Had he just confessed? Her eyes widened with shock. Gwen. There was no point in denying it now. It's true. I have fallen for... I have to get to work. She darted down the hallway. Crap. He slammed a fist against the wall. She was running away again. How could he convince her to stay? What could he do to impress her? The truth about her parents. Gwen was a person who appreciated the truth, and he could do that for her. He dashed down the stairs and strode across the courtyard. Hopefully, after missing dinner and breakfast, Romac would be hungry enough to spill a few secrets. As Silas neared the dungeon, he spotted Carlin at the entrance, yelling at two of his soldiers. "How could you leave your post?" Carlin growled. "What's wrong?" Silas asked. "These two were supposed to watch Romac last night." Carlin cuffed the nearest one on the head. "Come on, I'll show you." Silas followed Carlin and the guards down the stairs into the dungeon, lit by torches along the stone wall. They passed two empty cells, then stopped at the last one, where the gate was open. Silas's breath caught. Romac was inside, lying in a pool of blood, a knife protruding from his chest. Damn it. Silas rushed inside. One look at Romac's glazed eyes and he knew the man was dead. He'd been dead for several hours. How? The captain scowled at his soldiers. These two were supposed to watch him last night, but when I arrived this morning, they were lounging around outside the door. Silas gritted his teeth as he strode toward the guards. You left your post. The two men exchanged nervous looks. We were ordered to, my lord, one answered. That's right, the other one agreed. We were told to wait outside until morning. Who would tell you that? Carlin demanded. The two men turned pale as they exchanged a frantic look. Carlin grabbed one by the collar. Who? The man gulped. It was you, Captain. Carlin released the man, his eyes wide with shock. The second soldier gave Silas a pleading look. It's true, my lord. The captain told us to leave. Then he went inside. He was carrying that knife. The first soldier pointed at the knife, embedded in Romac's body. What? Carlin stepped back with an incredulous look. I didn't kill him. What the hell? Silas clenched his fists as his heart squeezed in his chest. Had Carlin betrayed him? Was he in league with someone like Lord Morris who had ordered him to kill Romac before the man could talk? But damn it, Carlin looked as shocked as Silas felt. It didn't make sense for Carlin to be the murderer. He'd always been loyal, and he was too smart to leave such obvious evidence. He would have covered his tracks better than this. You had better be sure about this, Silas growled at the guards. I can easily check Carlin's whereabouts last night, and if I discover you two have been lying... It was him, I swear it! The first soldier cried, and both men dropped to their knees. Please forgive us, my lord. We thought we were following orders. It wasn't me, Carlin whispered, his face pale. I swear it wasn't me. Silas glanced at the dead body in the cell. What the hell was going on here? Chapter 20. Gwenor's heart pounded as she rushed to the workroom in the western wing. It would be making love. Goddesses help her. How could she resist falling in love if Silas was feeling the same way? She shut the door behind her, then leaned against it to catch her breath. How does it feel? Annika asked. Frightening. Gwenor pressed a hand against her still thudding heart. No, it was exciting, and so tempting. Annika motioned to her breeches. Doesn't it feel strange at first?
Oh.
She meant the breeches. Gwenor pushed away from the door. It made it much easier to run up the stairs. Annika gave her a curious look. Why were you running? Gwenor hesitated, then changed the subject. Did you check on Her Majesty this morning? Yes, she's about the same. Margosha and Olenka are with her, giving her some Verna tea. They should be here soon. Annika motioned to a table where the plates contained small portions of bread, cheese, and fruit. You missed breakfast, but we left some food for you. Thank you. Gwenor grabbed a slice of cheese and ate it as she approached the bowls of water and lily pads. Has there been any change? One is starting to look bad. Annika pointed at a lily pad that was turning brown along the edges. But it could be a natural reaction from being transplanted. Or it could be caused by poison. Gwenor picked up the slip of paper next to the bowl. Emerald ring. Rectangular, surrounded by 8 small diamonds. We need to examine this ring. Gwenor studied the bowls on the table. Only half of them had tested jewellery, and that was only a small sampling of the large amount the Queen owned. Actually, I think we should test all of Her Majesty's jewellery. Annika's eyes widened. That will take a while. Yes. But I suspect there could be other tainted pieces. Gwenor tapped her finger on the label. This is an emerald ring, so the Queen would wear it only once a week on Emerald Day. I'm not sure that would produce the amount of poison she has in her system. The door opened, and Margosha and Olenka came inside. Any progress? Margosha asked. Perhaps. Gwenor handed her the slip of paper. What do you know of this ring? It's one of Her Majesty's favorites, Margosha frowned. Are you saying it's poisoned? Olenka snatched the paper away and read it. Oh, I know about this. It was a gift to Her Majesty last summer after she suffered her last miscarriage. A gift? Gwenor asked. Who gave it to her? Margosha winced. Her husband. The king. Gwenor swallowed hard. King Petrus gave her a poisoned ring? Annika asked. Is he hoping to replace her with a healthy... He's devoted to her, Margosha interrupted. He would never... Oh my! The piece of paper slipped from Olenka's hands. Then... It's not a curse after all. Someone is trying to poison the Queen. They already have, Annika muttered. It can't be His Majesty, Margosha insisted. He's with her now. He's beside himself with worry. Gwenor nodded. Then we need more information. Where did the King buy the ring, or did someone give it to him? I'll ask around and check the jewellery shop in the village, Margosha offered. Good, but before you go, could you bring us all of the Queen's jewellery? Gwenor asked. All of it? Olenka scoffed. She has 3 caskets. We can't just walk out of the Queen's bedchamber with them. She'll throw a fit. We need to test everything. Gwenor insisted. I seriously doubt that this one ring is responsible for the amount of poison in Her Majesty's system, especially if she received it only last summer. She's been ill for longer than that, right? Right, Margosha nodded. We'll tell her that we're cleaning her jewellery. She's been complaining lately that it doesn't sparkle enough. She motioned to Annika and Olenka. The 3 of us can bring the caskets here. Gwenor sighed as the women left. Obviously, she was still not welcomed in the Queen's quarters. 2 hours later, they had the contents of the first casket all soaking in fresh bowls of water, each one topped with a lily pad. After raiding the castle garden of all of its lily pads, they'd resorted to taking them from the pond in the village. Phew! Olenka collapsed in a chair. So what do we do now? Annika ate the last piece of cheese left over from breakfast. After lunch, we're going into the forest to collect medicinal plants. If you're serious about becoming my assistant, you should come along. Olenka saluted her. Yes, Captain. Margosha shook her head but smiled. Silas wants us to take some armed soldiers with us. Gwenor nabbed the last crust of bread from the breakfast table. Annika snorted. We can take care of ourselves. When did he tell you this? This morning. Ah! Annika's eyes twinkled with mischief. Before you had to run up the stairs? Gwenor tossed the piece of bread onto the tray. This is stale. Why don't we have lunch? Annika's mouth twitched. Why don't we change the subject? Gwenor gave her a wry look. Nothing happened. Well, isn't that a shame? Annika nudged her with an elbow. You should have jumped his bones. Olenka giggled. Go get some food. Gwenor fussed at her friends. I'm hungry. Annika grinned. All right, let's go. She waved at the others as she headed for the door. Of course, Gwen wouldn't be so hungry if she was satisfying her other appetites. Go! Gwenor threw the crust of bread, missing Annika, who laughed as she left with the other women. Gwenor smiled. It was almost like being back with her sisters. Her smile faded. She would miss her new friends here, and goddesses help her, she would miss Silas something terrible. It was like her heart was being torn in two different directions. She wandered over to the long line of windows to gaze at the beautiful view. The charming village of Dreshka was nestled along the banks of the Norva River, and across the valley, green pastures dotted with fluffy white sheep swept up the hillsides. Then the forest began, stretching up the mountainsides till they gave way to patches of snow. Gwenor sighed. I would never grow tired of this. Once again, she had the odd feeling of coming home, as if this place had been secretly harbored in her heart all her life. What had Annika said about the elves? It was the river elves who lived in the mountains and had white blonde hair like hers. That had to be why she loved mountains so much. They soothed her soul, because they were in her blood. A movement in the sky drew her attention. An eagle? It flew straight for the castle, then swooped along the windows on the western wing. Brody? Gwenor quickly opened a window and waved. Brody! The eagle circled around, then came straight for her. She jumped to the side as it shot through the open window. It landed on the floor, then turned into a black and white shaggy dog. Brody! Gwenor gave him a hug. I didn't expect you for a few more days. He grinned at her, then barked. Oh, you must have some news. No doubt, he wanted to shift into human form. She glanced around the room, but there were only a few small towels, not big enough to wrap around him. Wait here, I'll bring you some clothes. She dashed off to Silas's dressing room, wondering what had happened to cause Brody to come early. Silas pulled off his shirt as he entered his bedchamber. He'd managed to stain the sleeves with blood while examining Romac's body, so he wanted to put on a clean shirt before making his report to the king. Although there wasn't much he could tell Petrus, since nothing was making any sense. As he opened the door to his dressing room, he tossed the dirty shirt into a basket and heard a gasp from across the small room. He spun around. Gwen? She was next to the shelves of clothes, holding up a pair of his underpants. At first, she looked stunned. Then her gaze drifted over his bare chest, and her lovely eyes grew even bigger. His mouth twitched. "Have you acquired a sudden interest in my underwear?" "What? No!" She hastily dropped his underpants on his dressing table. "I can explain." "No need to. I'm thrilled you want to see my underpants. Here, I'll show you the more exciting version." He unfastened the top button of his breeches. "Stop that!" He choked back a laugh. "Gwen, sweetheart." He stepped toward her. "Why are you here? Did you miss me?" She huffed. "I just saw you this morning." "You ran away from me this morning." A blush invaded her cheeks as she quickly folded up his underpants. "If you must know, I was simply checking the size of these to make sure they would fit." "Why? Were you planning to wear them?" "They're not for me." She placed the folded underpants on top of some folded breeches. "I could explain if you weren't so determined to distract me." "You find me distracting?" Her gaze drifted to his bare chest again, then lingered on the dragon tattoo. How much did she suspect? He motioned toward the shelves. "Could you hand me a shirt?" "Of course." She passed him one, then placed a second one on her stack of clothes. "I'm in a bit of a hurry. Brody is in the workroom, stuck as a dog, until I..." "Brody's here?" "Yes." She gathered up the stack of clothes. "This was the only place I could think of that would have some male clothing, so if you don't mind..." "Of course not." He slipped on his shirt. "Let's go." She followed him into his bedchamber. "You didn't button your shirt." "It can wait." He glanced at his bed, then at her. "Unless you have something else in mind." She scoffed. "You seem to have only one thing on your mind these days." She darted past him to open the door. "It's what happens when a man falls in love." She froze in his doorway, then whispered, "Don't." "Don't what?" "Fall in love." "Don't tempt me." She stepped into the hallway. Did that mean she was tempted? He ran after her, slamming his door behind him. "Gwen!" In the hallway, a few doors down, a servant gasped at the sight of them and dropped her armful of bed linens on the floor. "Are you all right?" Silas picked up the bed sheets and handed them to the servant. "We didn't mean to frighten you."
I'm fine, Your Highness."
The young woman curtsied, then dashed away. Gwen shot him a wry look as she headed for the western wing. "I told you to button your shirt." He snorted. "Are you saying my chest is scary?"
"Not exactly," she muttered.
He followed her as he fastened the buttons. "I've been wondering how you were doing. Have you made any progress?" She explained how they were examining the Queen's jewelry and that so far there was one ring they suspected was poisoned. "It was a gift from the King last summer."
"Petrus gave it to her?"
Gwen nodded. "Margosha said she would ask around to see where it came from."
"I'll ask him."
Gwen gave him a worried look. "That could end badly if the King thinks we suspect him."
"He'll cooperate. He wants rid of the curse more than anything. He believes his wife will improve if we..."
Silas stopped when a pained look crossed Gwenor's face. "I don't think it's possible for her to improve. She's been poisoned for too long and it's affected all her internal organs." Silas swallowed hard.
He told Petrus that he would help the queen, and if he failed, he would go along with Petrus's wish to do what Fafnir ordered. Invade Woodwin and declare war on Turin.
I'm sorry, Bunor whispered.
So am I. Silas remained silent for a while as they walked. Then something occurred to him. The queen received the ring last summer, but she's been ill for longer than that. And my mother suffered from madness too. Gwynor nodded. That's another reason why I suspect the jewelry. It's the only thing that gets passed on from one queen to the next. Everything else changes. When they reached the workroom, they found Annika, Margosha, and Olenka inside. They brought up several baskets of food and were arranging it on a table. Brody, in dog form, was wolfing down a plate of ham that had been placed on the floor. Annika saluted Silas, then motioned to Brody. We found this dog in the room. I don't know where he came from.
But he's so cute.
Olenka patted Brody's head, and he grinned at her. Gwen set the stack of clothes on the floor next to Brody. We should leave the room for a few minutes.
What?
Annika eyed the clothes. Why? We were just about to eat, Margosha protested. Would you like to join us, my lord?
In a moment, Silas said. First, I'd like to talk to Brody, so if you don't mind...
He motioned to the door.
Brody? Margosha looked confused. You mean the dog?
Annika snorted.
You want to talk to a dog?
Gwynor picked up a plate of ham and cheese and headed for the door.
I'll explain outside. Come on.
Margosha grabbed the bottle of wine while Olenka and Annika gathered up some cups and a loaf of bread. Then they followed Gwen out the door. As soon as the door shut, Brody's form wavered for a few seconds, then snapped into the shape of a man. He reached for the underpants.
I smelled death on you. What's going on here?
Silas wandered about the room studying Gwen's experiment.
Lord Romac was murdered last night. I've been investigating the matter.
Who is he?
Brody fastened the waist of the underpants.
The king's personal secretary.
Silas explained how he'd discovered Romac's spying activity. I sent Alexei to follow the priest so we can figure out who was paying Romac. I suspect Lord Morris or one of his minions.
Brody pulled on the pair of breeches.
Is this Alexei, one of your dragons?
When Silas stiffened, Brody gave him a wry look.
I can smell a fellow shifter.
Silas clenched his fists. Damn it, he should have realized this, since he'd always been able to tell that Brody was a shifter.
Have you told anyone?
No,
Brody smiled.
You can relax. I don't intend to tell anyone. Shifter's code of honor.
Silas flexed his hands.
I'll hold you to that.
So someone killed the spy you arrested.
Brody buttoned the breeches.
Sounds like you may have more than one spy around here.
Silas nodded.
Someone made sure Romac couldn't talk. Romac had planned to kill me and frame Gwynor for it.
What?
She was given a poisoned dagger.
Is she all right?
Yes.
Silas motioned toward the door.
You saw her. She's fine.
Brody frowned as he put on the shirt.
So any idea who killed this Romac?
With a grimace, Silas ran a hand through his hair.
It's not making any sense. The two guards said their captain ordered them to stay by the dungeon entrance all night, and they saw him go inside with a knife, the same knife that is now protruding from Romac's chest.
Then he's your man.
Brody buttoned the shirt.
Silas shook his head. Carlin swears it wasn't him.
and I checked with the other soldiers. He was in the barracks with them all night.
Then the two guards are lying.
Silas sighed.
They swear they're telling the truth. And even Carlin says they're trustworthy. He's completely baffled. Hell, we all are.
Brody paused in the middle of fastening a button.
The murderer looked like the captain, but he wasn't him.
Silas nodded.
Right. You still have the body?
In the dungeon, yes.
Take me there.
Brody finished buttoning his shirt.
If it was the chameleon, I might be able to pick up his scent.
The chameleon?
Brody nodded. I'll explain on the way.
No need. I've heard of him.
The chameleon had tried to steal the throne in Eberron and Turin.
Silas headed for the door.
You think the chameleon is here, making a play for Noveshka?
Could be.
Brody followed him out the door. Gwenor was sitting with the other women in the hallway, enjoying a meal.
Brody!
She jumped to her feet and hugged him.
Annika looked him over curiously.
He was the dog?
Gwenny?
Brody took hold of her shoulders.
I heard you were poisoned. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. How are my sisters? You came early. Is something wrong?
Brody smiled as he gave her shoulders a squeeze.
Everything's fine. They were just worried about you.
Silas cleared his throat.
Are you going to hug each other all day? We need to be going.
Brody released her.
I'll be back soon.
He followed Silas to the stairwell.
What's going on?
Gwen ran after them.
Stay in the workroom for now,
Silas called back to her.
I'll send some guards to watch over you.
Why do we need guards? Annika yelled.
Just to be safe.
Silas bounded down the stairs. Brody kept up with him.
Do they know about the murder?
Not yet.
Has Gwenny made any progress with figuring out the curse?
Maybe.
Brody snorted.
You're not very forthcoming.
Neither are you.
Silas glanced at the shifter as they reached the ground floor.
Why did you come early?
Brody shrugged.
Leo and Luciana wanted to make sure Gwenor was safe.
Why? Silas opened the door to the courtyard.
Has something happened?
Brody squinted as they stepped out into the sunlight.
A special envoy from Woodwin came to the Eberroni camp.
Silas halted.
The elves never sent envoys. They were the most reclusive people on the planet.
What did he want?
When Brody hesitated, a lump of dread caught in Silas's throat.
They want Gwenor.
Brody nodded.
The royal family is requesting her return.
Silas fisted his hands as his heart started to pound.
Why? Is she a member of the royal family?
They wouldn't say. They just demanded her back.
Silas scoffed.
They rejected her as a baby, and now they think they can simply demand her back. Leo and Luciana are as suspicious as you are. They were actually relieved that she's here, since it gave them a good excuse to turn the elves down.
Silas strode toward the dungeon.
We can't let her go. Not when we don't know what they plan to do with her.
I agree.
Brody walked barefoot beside him. That's why I came here, to make sure she was all right. Leo thought the elves might have a spy here.
Romac? Silas wondered. Could Romac have been spying for Woodwin?
I did some spying myself, around the envoy and his secretary,
Brody continued.
People don't watch what they say in front of a dog.
What did you learn?
They called Gwenor a princess,
Silas stopped again. Had he fallen in love with an elfin princess?
They had another name for her. Brody winced. But they said it with such disdain, it made me worry that if she did go to Woodwind, she would be mistreated. She's already endured enough prejudice. So I told Leo and Luciana that I didn't think she should ever go.
Silas frowned. What did they call her?
Half-breed.
Silas blinked.
Half?
Brody nodded.
Obviously she's half-elf, but the other? We have no idea.
Half-breed. Silas resumed his walk across the courtyard. Romac had known who her parents were, but he died before he could talk. Did that mean her parents were important? Powerful enough to silence a prisoner in another country? When Silas reached the group of soldiers at the entrance to the dungeon, he asked two of them to guard the workroom. As they dashed off, he led Brody inside.
Half-breed.
Silas had never heard of any elf coming across the border to have a child, and Gwenor had been born in Woodwin. That meant someone who was not an elf had travelled to Woodwin. And since Gwenor was a princess, that someone had had an affair with a member of the royal family.
You're back, Dimitri said, as Silas approached with Brody. His eyes narrowed.
You brought the shifter.
Brody snorted.
Takes one to know one.
Dimitri stiffened.
It's all right.
Silas motioned to the last cell.
The body's in there.
Brody slipped into the cell.
What's he doing?
Dimitri whispered. Seeing if he can detect the smell of the chameleon, Silas said. It would explain why the murderer looked like Carlin but wasn't Carlin. Dimitri nodded, then leaned close.
Can we trust the shifter?
I believe so.
Silas's breath caught as a sudden thought occurred to him.
Dimitri, when did your uncle go to Woodwin as an envoy?
How long ago exactly?
Dimitri tilted his head, considering.
It must be 22 years.
Why do you ask?
Silas swallowed hard. The timing was right.
Was Gwenor the daughter of Lord Tolenko?
If so, she was Dimitri's cousin and a member of one of the three cursed clans. The daughter of a dragon shifter.
Shit. That would explain why she could hear the dragons.
Somehow she'd inherited the gift from her father.
What is it?
Dimitri watched him with a worried look.
I need to be sure before I...
Silas took a deep breath. If his theory was right, then Gwenor belonged in Noveshka just as much as she did in Woodwin.
By the light, he wasn't giving her up.
It's a good thing I'm here, Brody said as he exited the cell. I can tell you for sure who the murderer is.
Silas grew tense.
The chameleon. He's here in Noveshka.
Brody nodded.
I'll help you find the bastard.
Chapter 21. The chameleon is here? Petrus asked with an incredulous look.
In the castle?
It's possible, Silas admitted. He'd asked for a private word with his brother, and Petrus had taken him to his suite of rooms next door to the Queen's bedchamber. The King couldn't bear to be separated from his ailing wife for very long.
Dimitri is taking the shifter Brody through the castle right now, Silas reported. If the chameleon is still here, Brody will be able to detect his scent.
You can detect shifters. Why don't you do it?
Petrus asked.
I've never met the chameleon before, so I'm not familiar with his scent.
Petrus frowned.
I don't want that Brody staying here for long. He's a spy for King Leofric.
Silas didn't want to admit that Brody already knew their biggest secret, that some of the men from the three cursed clans were dragons.
No one knows what the chameleon actually looks like. Brody is our best bet at finding him.
All right. Petrus paced nervously about his sitting room.
Do you think Romac was working for the chameleon?
Possibly, since the chameleon killed him to keep him from talking. But there may be more people involved in this. The priest who paid Romac is currently headed south. Alexei is following him to see who he reports to.
Petrus slowed to a stop. I was afraid something like this would happen. There could be a group of people trying to take over our country.
That's certainly possible. But don't worry. I'll get to the bottom of it.
I have to worry. It's my crown.
Petrus slapped his chest, then fisted his hand.
The nobles are restless. I can hear them whispering about me, and my wife. They think I'm too distracted to rule. They think Freya's going to die.
Silas groaned inwardly, recalling Gwen's warning that the queen would not last much longer.
I hate to tell you this, Petrus, but the queen...
She'll get better,
Petrus shouted. We just have to get rid of the curse, and then she'll be healthy again and we'll have children. All the families will be able to have children.
We're working on it.
You have to succeed.
Petrus resumed his pacing.
The curse has made our entire country sick. It's causing the madness, causing the plague, and it won't stop until we're all mad or dead.
Silas winced at the frantic gleam in his brother's eyes.
Petrus. Summer is coming soon.
Petrus paced even faster.
That means the plague will come back. More people will die and they'll blame me for it. They'll want my head.
Petrus. Silas grabbed him by the shoulders. It will be all right. Petrus's eyes glimmered with tears as he clutched Silas's shirt.
You're the only heir I have. Don't let them assassinate you.
Silas squeezed his brother's shoulders.
I won't. You should get married right away. Have some children. That will stop the nobles from conspiring behind our backs.
Marriage? An instant picture of Gwen popped into Silas's mind and he stepped back, releasing his brother.
Marry Gwenor?
Why not? He didn't want to let her go. Wasn't marriage the best way to keep her by his side? Forever?
He stood still, waiting for some sort of uneasy feeling to swamp him.
After all, this would be a commitment for life.
Gwen, forever.
Yes. A calmness spread through him, a peaceful feeling that he'd found his home, his strength, his refuge from any storm.
Gwenor.
Who could heal his heart and soothe his soul like her?
You're smiling. Petrus studied him closely. You must have someone in mind.
Yes. Lady Gwenor.
Petrus stiffened with a jerk.
No, anyone but her.
Silas gritted his teeth.
There is nothing wrong with her. The nobles will never accept an elf for their queen. You'll cause a rebellion.
On the contrary, I believe she could bring peace between our country and Woodwin. The Norveshki people will appreciate not losing their loved ones to war.
The elves will never want peace, Petrus hissed. Look what they did to our last envoy. They killed him.
Silas shook his head.
We don't know that for a fact. Lord Tolenko might be living quite happily in Woodwin. I have reason to believe that he and an elfin princess are Gwenor's parents.
What?
Lady Gwenor is only half elf. I believe the other half is Norveshki. She belongs here just as much as...
That's all speculation.
Petrus waved a dismissive hand.
What proof do you have?
She can hear the dragons. No elf can do that. She must have inherited the gift from Lord Tolenko. That makes her the daughter of a dragon shifter. Petrus frowned. Then she's too closely related to us. Silas snorted. It would mean that Gwen and I have ancestors who were brothers 500 years ago. None of your objections will deter me, Petrus. She's the one I want. I love her. No one will accept her. They will. Silas gave his brother a pleading look. You married for love. Allow me to do the same. Petrus glanced at the door that led to his wife's room. What will you do when you see the woman you love succumbing to madness, just like our mother did? Silas swallowed hard. He and Gwenor had to succeed. The light help him. If he had to watch Gwen grow sick and lose their children, he would go mad with despair. Was that why Petrus had become so paranoid? Petrus shook his head. You can't marry her. It will cause trouble. Give me some time. When Gwenor and I get rid of the curse, you'll think differently. Petrus started pacing again. That's the problem, this damned curse. All our troubles go back to the curse. He halted, giving Silas a pointed look. If you fail, I'm going to do what Fafnir tells me to do. I know. Go to war on multiple fronts and destroy the country. Silas sighed. I'd like to find a special ring for Lady Gwenor. She was admiring the emerald ring you gave Freya last summer. Can you tell me where you got it? Petrus waved a hand. You won't find another one like it. He had it made especially for the queen. Who? Silas asked softly. Fafnir. Silas's breath caught. The dragon had given the king a poisoned ring. In the last year, he's had a few pieces of jewelry made for Freya, Petrus continued. He wanted to prove that he's on our side. Since he's on our side, I'd like to meet him. Petrus shook his head. He talks only to me. He headed for the door. Keep me informed. The summoning is in a week, next Diamond Day. I need some answers by then. I went to the sacred well. Petrus spun around. What? Fafnir wasn't there. Petrus's gaze darted frantically around the room. Oh, of course he wasn't there. He refuses to see anyone but me. Silas's heart clenched once again with the fear that his brother was not only paranoid, but delusional. But if Petrus was imagining the dragon, then where had the poisoned ring come from? Petrus stalked toward him. You shouldn't have gone there. You might have frightened him off. He's a fire-breathing dragon. Why would he frighten so easily? He was injured by one of our ancestors. He's afraid to trust us. Petrus scrubbed a hand over his face. How could you do that? He might be the only way we can get rid of the curse. My apologies, Your Majesty. Petrus frowned at him, then finally nodded. All right. We're agreed then. You'll leave Fafnir to me. He hurried through the door to his wife's bedchamber. Silas took a deep breath. There was no way he was leaving his brother to deal with Fafnir. Whoever the hell this bastard was, he was poisoning the queen and trying to destroy their country with hopelessly suicidal wars. The next morning, while Gwenor was putting on a clean shift in her dressing room, she realized she might have to wear one of the fancy gowns that Margosha had lent her. The breeches she'd worn yesterday had gotten dirty during their afternoon tromp through the forest to collect medicinal plants. Did you wash the breeches?
Yes, my lady, but they're not quite dry.
Nisa pointed to a green brocade gown. Perhaps you should wear this one since it's Emerald Day. Gwenor sighed. It seemed silly to wear such an elaborate court dress when she was going to spend the entire day in the workroom. What I need is some work clothes. Do you have anything I could borrow? Nisa gasped. My lady, you can't wear a servant's clothes. Not when you're... She ducked her head, blushing. What? With a shy smile, Nisa pointed at the door to Silas's dressing room. I'm so happy for you, my lady. Gwenor glanced at his door. She could hear running water. Silas must be washing up. Why are you happy? With a grin, Nisa clasped her hands together. You're back together with His Highness. What? No! You were seen, my lady. Nisa lowered her voice to a whisper. The two of you left his bedchamber yesterday, and he was still getting dressed. She turned away, her face blushing. That doesn't mean we... Oh, dear goddesses. Gwenor grabbed the green brocade gown and slipped it over her head. At least she could stay in the workroom all day, far away from the ridiculous gossip. Could you do the laces, please? Of course. Nisa stepped behind her. Everyone's talking about it. Some people are saying you've bewitched the general. Gwenor snorted. So now they think I'm a witch. I told them you're not. Nisa tugged at the laces. Others are saying the general has succumbed to madness like the queen. Gwenor closed her eyes briefly. That was even worse. How could Silas inherit the throne if everyone thought he was insane? At least no one is saying you want to kill him any more. Gwenor scoffed. Well, that's nice of them. Nisa tied off the laces. They're saying you want him alive, so you can marry him and become the next queen. Gwenor turned to face her maid. That's not true. I'm leaving in a few days. Perhaps. She wasn't so sure anymore. Her heart was being torn in two. How can you leave? Nisa's eyes widened. Don't you care for the general? Goddesses, yes. She more than cared for him. I care enough not to cause him any trouble. She recalled the scornful glares outside the queen's bedchamber. There are too many people here who hate me. Oh, you must have heard. Nisa grimaced. Heard what? When her maid ducked her head, Gwenor touched her shoulder. Tell me. Nisa grabbed hold of the gold-painted bead that hung from a leather cord around her neck. Some people are saying it's not the curse that's killing the queen. They think it's you. Gwenor gasped. Damn it. She was so damn tired of being misjudged and reviled. Why should she stay here and help these ungrateful people? I told them they were wrong, Nisa insisted. I know how hard you're working to get rid of the curse. A tear rolled down her cheek. Please don't leave us. We need you. The general needs you. Tears burned Gwenor's eyes when she imagined Nisa all alone trying to defend her. I'll stay a while longer. Thank you. Nisa wiped her cheeks dry. Gwenor pulled her into a hug. No, thank you for reminding me that I have true friends here. Nisa gave her a tremulous smile. Let me know if you need anything. She ran from the room. Gwenor let out a groan as she dropped her head back and stared at the ceiling. Wherever she went, it was always the same. People gossiped about her in Eberron and Turin, too. If she truly wanted to escape prejudice, she would have to spend the rest of her life in the convent on the Isle of Moon. No. She would not be chased off the mainland. She had to be stronger than that. After splashing some cold water on her face, she dried herself with a towel and glanced at the door to Silas's dressing room. Was he aware of the rumors circulating in